Hello and welcome to the Cash and Commitment podcast with Veronia
and Yinka.
And I can't believe this is our 10th episode.
I never thought we'd make it, but here we are.
Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting times. And what better way to celebrate our 10th episode than announcing that we are pregnant.
Who's the father? I'm joking. Yes, there's a bun in the oven.
Yes, there is. It has been, for me, it's been long trying to hide it, especially because, I pretty much hid it throughout the whole of 2024, essentially. So I don't know if people clocked on or not.
Cushion on the belly. I had to do it as well, so it didn't look weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about just our initial thoughts when it came to pregnancy and how like our finances would be impacted. So this will be more like part one. And then in part two, we're going to talk about how we're actually financially preparing for our new baby. So the first thing I do want to discuss is, Yinka, did we plan this?
Of course. I'm a very responsible adult. I mean, do you ever plan a baby? I don't think so. But it's a good surprise. I wasn't expecting it, but hey, here we are.
I feel like the answer to that question is yes and no, though, because we'd always known we wanted to start a family.
Yeah.
And even like when we were saving up for a house, it was because we knew that we wanted to settle down and start a family. And we didn't obviously want to do that whilst we were like in our flat, because there probably wouldn't be enough space for that. Mm-hmm. So we'd always known that we did. It's just the time that it happened that was surprising, especially because when I found out, it was literally 2 days before we were moving out of our flat. Yeah. So I also have a video diary series that I've started on my YouTube channel where you actually see me finding out that I'm pregnant. And you also see Yinka's reaction as well. And basically we just go through, you just kind of see my initial thoughts, which basically I was terrified, essentially. But you just got to lean on God in these times. So I want to talk about like, what were our first thoughts in terms of thinking, okay, we're going to have a baby. What do we need to think about? Especially because babies cost money.
Yeah.
Children cost money. It's not cheap. So I don't know, Yinka, if you had any initial thoughts and then I'll talk about mine.
Obviously excited, happy, a bit terrified, I guess. But I think life-wise or money-wise, I was like, where are we going to live? Because we're moving out in 2 days. And I think we didn't want to have the baby at Veronia's mum's house. We wanted to actually have our own place by then. And yeah, thinking about maternity as well, I know Veronia's going to be off work.
No, can we actually even talk before that? Can we talk about our initial plan? Because the plan that we had...
Oh, for what? For the baby?
Not even that. Because the plan that we had originally was a little bit different in terms of the timing. So our original plan was at the beginning of the year, we knew that we wanted to buy our house by the end of the year. So by the end of 2024, that was the plan. And then we also planned towards the end of the year, that's when we would start trying for a baby, because we thought, you know, by that time we'll probably be at least in the process, even if we haven't actually bought the house, we would be in the process. But obviously that didn't happen because God decided differently and his plans are perfect, where essentially we ended up having to do that at the same time, both of those things at the same time.
Yeah. Wouldn't recommend it, but
yeah, no.
That was our original plan, yeah. But thinking from a man's point of view, being a provider for my family, well, now that my family was increasing, it's like, Veronia's gonna be on leave. Obviously her pay is gonna decrease over the time she's on leave. I know I didn't really know too much about maternity pay. I think I knew you get full pay for certain amount of time and then it goes to half pay, whatever, but I know that's different with different companies and I didn't know what Vernier's company's policy was. So trying to get to grips around that, but also my leave as well. I wanted to be around to support with the baby and support Vernier. But I did know that paternity leave was 2 weeks. And I was like, 2 weeks isn't going to be enough.
No, it's not a lot. All.
But then the type of job I have relies quite a lot on me. So I didn't know how realistic it would be for me to take more leave on top of the paternity leave as well. So, but that's all worked out pretty well, to be fair. So manager's been pretty nice about it. She actually thought we get 4 weeks paternity leave. And I was like, we wish, but this country is, they don't respect dads. What can I say?
Yeah. It's worse in the US though.
Yeah. It's better in the other European countries.
Definitely. Much better.
Wasn't someone saying like in Norway, like both parents get 12 months full paid leave, which is lovely.
Yeah. there's a lot of European countries that do very well when it comes to both maternity and paternity leave. So UK, you could do better. But yeah. Did you have any other concerns or was that kind of the main one?
That was the main one. I think throughout the pregnancy, I think it was just thinking about like finances and how that's going to work. Because my mind was like, okay, well, we're just going to lose one income. I know you're going to get maternity pay, but it wasn't going to be that much compared to what you usually earn. So in my mind, I was thinking, oh, what can I do to increase my finances and make sure that we're going to be okay, especially now that we have another mouth to feed. There's going to be increased expenses. What can I do during that period? And to be honest, I thought about it quite a lot. And now I'm more at peace with it because I guess with my faith, I just know that regardless, God will provide. So I'm not too stressed about it.
Yeah. I think it doesn't help that we decided that was the year we were also going to buy our house as well. Because obviously we also know that our expenses are going to increase. Even if we didn't have our child, our expenses are going to increase because our mortgage is a lot more compared to what we were renting. And you know, we're transitioning because we are going from a one bed flat to three bedrooms now. So yeah, I think we're a little bit crazy to do it both, but God will provide. And also, I think we've set up our finances quite well in that we can actually afford to do both.
Yeah. I mean, circumstances have allowed. And we mentioned before in the last episode that we were able to stay in your parents or live in your parents' house for basically free.
Yeah.
Which means that we can stockpile our money for those future expenses that are going to come. But we did know that our expenses were going to increase. You know, mortgage is probably going to be more than what we were renting anyway.
Much more.
Larger property, it's going to cost more to heat it with in terms of utilities, gas and electric, etc. So yeah, everything is increasing. But
even petrol money, actually, because obviously, I mean, who can afford to buy in London these days? But where we were renting, we were quite close to London, like or we were quite close to
in London.
Yeah, we were living in London and we were quite close to your workplace. It wasn't that far. Whereas where we bought is outside London. So that's then also going to impact travel costs as well.
Yeah.
Because when you'll be traveling to work, you'll obviously need to use much more petrol and things like that. So I think I would say that was also part of my concerns, especially it kind of happening at the same time. But yeah, I think we're definitely very fortunate in that we were able to save on our housing costs whilst we're going through the process of buying the house, so we can stack up as much cash as possible to basically help us through the next year and the next couple of years.
Cool.
I think additionally, a concern that I had was childcare.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's so expensive. And even in, obviously in the UK, you get your 15 hours free and your 30 hours free. And, you know, the government had changed when your child can basically go to nursery. But there are other things that I'd thought about where even with the 15 hours free or the 30 hours free, there are still things that you need to pay for if your child does go to nursery, because that doesn't, that may not include everything. But also, what happens if there aren't any spaces? What else will we have to consider when it comes to childcare? Or potentially, if we would prefer not to have the child go to nursery so early, like after my maternity leave, what's childcare going to look like? Am I going to have to reduce my hours when it comes to me working? Is that then again going to impact our finances? Is that going to impact, you know, our income? So I think that was probably like a big concern, not so much the maternity leave bit, but it's kind of like after.
Yeah.
What's that going to look like with childcare? I don't know if you had similar concerns or if you thought about that.
Probably not that far ahead, but I think it's a valid concern that people probably don't think about until they're actually in it. So I know there's a few friends that have had childcare in terms of sending their child to nursery, and it's almost one person's salary
yeah.
to be sending someone to nursery or child to nursery full time, that is anyway. So it's definitely something that needs to be thought about. I think one of the caveats that we're probably more fortunate with is that in terms of where we're going to be living, we have family around that can support, whether that might be aunties, cousins, mums, even friends as well. So there are people around us that can support us.
Yeah.
But I know there's some people, like I've got some rugby mates that came from abroad and they don't have family around, so they have to rely on things of that nature, such as nurseries. So there's no way around that, which is unfortunate. But yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. When they say kids are expensive, they're not joking.
Because I think there's always the argument where people say kids can be as expensive as you want them to be. But I think, yes, partly that's true when it comes to more of like the materialistic things, like, you know, buying the cot, you know, the travel system and all of those things. But when it comes to childcare, I think that's different, because it's either that you are going to have to fork out money to pay for that childcare, or you are blessed in that you have like a family or support network to be able to provide you with that childcare. Or potentially you might realize that it's better off that you stay at home and look after your child, because the amount that you're paying for childcare just doesn't make sense. It's like,
yeah, sometimes there's not actual financial loss that you're experiencing, but your earning potential is just shot because you, for that last example, you decide to stay home because probably it's more economical for you to stay at home and look after your own child rather than go to work, which is things that a lot of women do actually end up doing.
Yeah.
And I remember my cousin saying that it's once the kids hit like reception age, where they can start going to actual school, then that's when you see like the financial burden come off you. And it's just a big sigh of relief, because you're not paying for nursery fees. School is now, especially if they're going to a state school, school is now free. So
although you do still end up paying for some stuff,
but it's not going to be nowhere higher as high as nursery fees. So it's tough, and hopefully we're gonna be prepared for those financial stuff that's coming.
I mean, to be fair, I think, although yes, it was a surprise for us at the time, it's something that I had always thought about, I think, anyway. So I had always thought about, okay, what happens if, for example, I decide to stay at home and maybe, you know, the child doesn't go to nursery, or, for example, they maybe only go 1 to 2 days a week. Could we live off one person's income if that happened? So, and we kind of like tested that out, you know, back in 2021. So I was actually very intentional, and because I'm such a forward thinker, that's partly why, you know, some of the decisions that we made, it was because it was to basically prepare for us starting a family and, you know, having a child.
Yeah.
So I think we did well in that aspect to know, okay, if this kind of happened. Like, I even still, I think we did this where
we've done the maths.
Yeah, we've already done the maths, like, where
we know that we can, even with this new house and the mortgage and all that stuff, the increasing expenses, we know that we can live off of my income alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a bit more frugal compared to if we had two incomes coming in, but we know we could afford everything and we could afford to look after the child as well. But some people aren't in that position as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So yeah, I think we're definitely blessed in that position, but we were also very intentional, I think, you know, with thinking about, okay, if we are going to start a family, this is potentially what it will look like,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So yeah, although it was a surprise, it wasn't something we hadn't prepared for.
Yeah. Even with picking the house to live in as well, to make sure that the mortgage isn't stretching us too yeah. far. It meant that we knew that this is our numbers. We can't go past this. Doesn't matter if we love this particular house, but it goes past our budget, we can't afford it because we have some another mouth to feed as well. So very intentional with our financial planning for that specifically.
Yes. Yeah. It is so funny though, because when our lease ended in our flat, we were actually going to chill for the summer, and then we were going to like start house hunting.
Yeah.
And
that was the plan.
But then obviously, because we found out that we were expecting, that plan basically got ramped up, and we were like, okay, we need to start viewing like as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And start preparing for that.
Ronnie was very naive. She thought we'd get a house in like 3 months.
I was naive. No.
This is exactly what you said. But anyway,
some naivety. People do that. Okay, but
it was naivety. Even look, I didn't know she was talking rubbish until that 3 months passed.
No, but so, it has happened for some people. So yeah. I thought, okay, if it's like no chain, it'll be fine. But anyway, we'll talk about that in our housing episode.
Yeah.
So now I just want to talk about anything that maybe surprised us when it came to thinking about starting a family. Even like it could be emotional or financial, I would say.
Financially, I mean, easily, things for babies are stupidly expensive. Like, we went to a baby show.
Yeah.
Loads of different companies showing their products, etc. We're looking at travel systems. I'm walking around all these travel systems. We see travel systems for a grand and a half. Travel systems are basically pushchairs,
car seat,
and a bassinet, or that's a 3-in-1 travel system, I'd say. And yeah, these are thousands of pounds. And I'm there thinking, nah, this is crazy. Even the one we bought ended up being a few hundred pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So even like baby furniture, who would have thought baby furniture would cost that amount of money? Again, a few hundred pounds. So the cost of actually preparing for baby has been surprising in terms of how high it is for me anyway.
See, I wasn't actually that surprised, but I think that was just because I had started looking at that, you know, like before, because I like to be a forward thinker. So I thought that, you know, we probably would spend a couple of grand on just baby stuff before the baby's even born. But actually, to be fair, like, even going to things like the baby show and seeing how much some of these travel systems are, or seeing how much like some of these gadgets are, even things like breast pumps, I was surprised at that. I was like, why is a breast pump so expensive? Like almost £100 for a pump, electrical pump, but
the baby market is huge.
Yeah.
Saturated. It's like when we went there was probably 50 categories of different products that was actually on sale, and you think, do you need that many stuff for a baby? But you've got the money and you want to splash out, then you definitely can with a baby.
I think that's what surprised me, because I feel like that you kind of almost get so overwhelmed because you're trying to figure out, okay, what is actually a need versus a nice to have or a want. Because if you're not careful, things can really add up, and you might get annoyed where it's like, if I buy something that I think I need and it's expensive, but then my baby doesn't even like it, I'm going to feel so annoyed thinking I've just wasted money.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. People say it all the time. Like, seen some people buy those, is it baby bouncers?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The baby just cries when you put them in it, so it's useless now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that that was kind of like a surprise and a concern, to be honest, that I had. So I think I was a little more, I don't know whether it was maybe like, especially because of the cost of living crisis, but I wasn't as excited about like all these new baby stuff, because I was thinking like, oh, but what if my baby doesn't like that? And I don't want to have to waste money, especially because, you know, things aren't cheap anyway. Like things are genuinely expensive. Like inflation is still increasing. Plus we've got like our added housing costs. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be happy if I bought all of this stuff and then just didn't use half of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one surprising thing that I think I will say, and it's not financial, it's more emotional. I think the surprising thing was the fact that I would have to lean on you much more during my pregnancy, because my head was just not in it. Like even thinking about us, you know, buying the house, because I was pregnant and because I was so early on in my pregnancy, there were times where I was not motivated to do anything. I was not motivated to be calling up estate agents. And it's easier for me to call up the estate agents because I'm at home and Yinka's at work. So it made sense for me to be calling them, but I had no desire or motivation to call them up, even though I knew that we really wanted to buy somewhere, especially because we were expecting our child. So I think I was surprised at how my hormones kind of impacted all of that. And even just thinking about, okay, like the travel system, like I don't know, I wasn't motivated to like really do a lot of research. You did most of the research, to be honest.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's what surprised me, because I know that if I wasn't pregnant, I would have been hands down like researching everything, thinking about deals, like how much are things going to cost, you know, things like that. But I wasn't there. My mindset just wasn't there. So I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, but I think for you, you're just the person that likes to do stuff themselves anyway.
Yeah,
I think one thing I know is that, yeah, you gotta focus on one task a day and go from there. And I think that's something that really helped you manage those tough trimesters. But yeah, obviously, well, I had to pull my weight and do more stuff than probably that I'd usually do in our marriage. And
you even had to remind me of sometimes the budget as well. It was bad.
There's work to be done if you get someone pregnant.
Yeah, no, it was crazy, because like obviously I'm someone that before the budget even is supposed to have been done, like I've already thought about it. I've already probably started putting numbers in, or like even paying the credit card off. Like that's something that I will do naturally all the time. But whilst I was pregnant, like I kept forgetting, and there was just always a delay. So yeah, it was an interesting few months. So I feel like you also had to step up in the financial admin part.
Yeah, I never did no budget. No,
no you didn't. You still didn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
It's not my forte.
Mm-hmm. But you might have to learn.
Yeah. Just don't be surprised where I allocate the money. No?
Mm, yeah, true. But yeah, I think that's part one done. In part two, we're going to talk more about like how we are financially preparing for our baby. So be sure to subscribe to the channel so that you don't miss that episode. And also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure that you follow us on there as well if you want to listen to part two. And also, if you're someone that does want to take control of your finances, maybe you are thinking about starting a family in the future and you want to be able to make sure you're in a good financial position to do that, you can book a call to find out more about one-on-one coaching, where I can essentially help you make sure you set up that great financial foundation so it doesn't seem as stressful. So of course, you can book a call via the description below. But I think we're going to leave it there. I think one top tip after this episode that we would say is, don't be looking for houses when you're newly pregnant.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
We wouldn't recommend it. But we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We survived.
Yes, so, we did.
Yeah. Only by God's strength, but we still survived. But yeah. Okay. I think we're going to leave it there, and we will see you in part two for the next episode.
Yes, we will.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Peace and love.